Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. I believe that all 800,000 words in the Scripture are in a specific place, if you will, a specific order, for a specific reason, with a specific meaning. The Heavenly Father is serious about His desire for each of us to follow His instructions.
Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
As you know, this passage of Scripture is referred to as the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion or the Great Challenge. It is a very specific directive that you and I are to be about His business of soul winning. So I have a question for you, for me, for each of us. Here it is. Is the devil using you to keep someone out of heaven? That's an imposing question, isn't it? Let me say it again. Is the devil using you to keep someone out of heaven? I realized in reading Genesis 20 that can happen even to the best of God's people. In reading that particular chapter, we find that Abraham and Sarah, living temporarily in Gerar, when King Abimelech takes Sarah into his harem because he thinks Sarah is Abraham's sister, not his wife. However, God appears to King Abimelech in a dream and tells him he is a dead man because she is the wife of another.
Genesis 20, verses 4 through 7 in the Classic Amplified Bible. But Abimelech had not come near her, so he said, Lord, will you slay a people who are just and innocent? Did not the man tell me she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In integrity of heart and innocency of hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, Yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, for it was I who kept you back and spared you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not give you occasion to touch her. So now restore to the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her to him, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours.
King Abimelech had stumbled into something, not aware that he was sinning, but God knew it. Yet wrong is wrong, even if someone's unaware of it. Isn't that the cause of so many problems in the world today? Some time back, I read a quote by Jane Fonda, the actress. She talked about her husband. A magazine asked her how she ended up with her husband, and she said something about, it always starts with sex and leads to love. Really? Really? I found that deeply disturbing because that's not at all the case for successful marriage. Jane Fonda being a prime example, considering how many times she's been married. But beside the point, her words could influence other people who don't know the truth. But back to the case of King Abimelech and Abraham. The king is disturbed with God's prophet. And truthfully, I see his point. This is what he says to Abraham in Genesis 20, verse 9.
Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, What have you done to us? And how have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me what ought not to be done to anyone. And Abimelech said to Abraham, What did you see in us that justified you in doing such a thing as this?
King Abimelech confronts Abraham to explain why he would bring such a curse on him. The scripture goes on to say that God closed up the wombs of all the women in the land because of this one act against his own. But more importantly, Abraham's answer provoked my thinking. Listen to what he says to the king in Genesis 20, verses 11 and 12. Genesis 20, 11 and 12. And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely there is no reverence or fear of God at all in this place, and they will slay me because of my wife. But truly she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not of my mother. And she became my wife." I wonder how many times we fail to represent the Lord because we fear. There is no fear of God in the place where we are.
The Message translation of Genesis 20, verse 11 says, Abraham said, "I just assumed that there was no fear of God in this place and that they'd kill me to get my wife."
How often do we allow the enemy to influence us or make us assume that a person would not be open to God? It's the devil's tactic to keep us silent when we should be bringing people to the Lord. I remember a valuable lesson, a learning lesson, as a young Christian, probably about 26 years of age. I had a hairdresser who cut my hair so well, and she did a great job, but I always had to listen to her tell others in the shop about her sinful exploits. She would tell them about her wild weekends, and it grieved me to listen to such sin. Once while sitting there in the chair, while she was going on and on, when the Lord dropped in my spirit to invite her to church, truthfully, my immediate response was, "Really, Lord? She'd never be interested in going to church." But the Spirit of the Lord persisted. Finally, I blurted out, "You ever thought about going to church?" At which point, she totally stopped what she was doing and burst into tears. Come to find out, she'd lost her small son in a swimming pool accident, and I think she had never forgiven herself for it. Later, I did see her attend the church I was attending and prayed that she had gotten her life back together. I'd like to say, and I believe I have become a better witness over the years, but there's still room for improvement, and that's the desire of my heart. But I pray from this day forward that you and I will never assume any lost soul will not want to know the answer to their problems. We need to be sharing the good news with everyone. My father's a great example of that, an amazing soul winner. You know, as I was growing up spiritually, I learned the Roman road for leading unbelievers to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus. There have been millions of sinners born again as they traveled the Roman road. Listen to this.
Starting with Romans 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6, verses 23a, "The wages of sin is death," and it finishes, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then there's Romans 5, verse 8, "God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And Romans 10, verse 13, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with a heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Then we like to throw in something from Revelation, verse 20, that we were taught. Behold, 3:20, excuse me, Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him.
You probably already knew how to lead someone to the Lord via the Roman road, but it never hurts to hear it again. There are seven other things that we want to share with you on today's call. First, the way we treat the people we like least is the way we love God the most. Wow. Let me say that again. The way we treat the people we like the least is the way we love God the most. God needs us to love others as he loves us. Second, the biggest hindrance to evangelism is a hesitancy to getting involved, to move outside our comfort zone. Sometimes we kind of forget what's important to God as we focus on what's important to us. Third, understanding that we are our brother's keeper, no doubt. Fourth, being hesitant to share our faith because the person might, well, because of what they might think. When in fact, we should be more concerned about what God would think if we don't do as he's directed. Fifth, understanding that being able to freely share our faith without fear of persecution is a great honor, one that we should never take for granted. Six, understanding that sharing our faith makes us wise, regardless of our educational experience or accomplishments. Seventh, recognize that as we rejoice over those, we will be recognized as we rejoice over those we've led to the Lord.
1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20 in the Living Bible. For what is it we live for that gives us hope and joy and is our proud reward and crown? It is you. Yes, you will bring us much joy as we stand together before our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back again. For you are our trophy and joy.
So let's change the question that we ask at the beginning of the call. Instead of asking, is the devil using you, me, us, is the devil using us to keep someone out of heaven? Instead of asking that question, here's the question that I think he wants us to ponder. Simply this. How is God using you to get people into heaven? Well, how is God using you to get people into heaven? Think about it. Hallelujah. One more thing, actually two before we go. A very special happy birthday to our friend Randy down in Ocala, Florida. Happy birthday to you, my brother. And if you want me to pray for you on your birthday, you need to let me know when it is. We sure do it. We do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Also, if you haven't seen it, be looking for it or let me know you didn't get it and I'll send it to you. We sent you a personal letter about how to guarantee your financial future. You'll want to read it. You will. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.